All right, tonight, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Right there it is. All right, look at verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I focus my attention tonight on the phrase in that verse, the days of thy youth. That's what I want to talk about for a little while tonight, the days of thy youth. Now, the days of your youth are, of course, carefree days. They are the days of going to school. They are the days of play. They are the days when you are going on summer trips. They are the days when you are having your first date. They are the carefree days of life. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, the days of your youth are also crucial days. Most of the greatest decisions a person ever makes in life, they make during the days of thy youth. Most people decide what they will do with Jesus in the days of thy youth. Most decide their life's mate in the days of their youth. Most people decide what is going to be their lifetime occupation in the days of thy youth. These are crucial days because they're days when you can plan your future. You can decide what you're going to do in the future. Those of us who have passed the days of our youth cannot plan our future to a great extent because most of the days of our life have already gone by. But when you're young, you can plan your future. The days of your youth are also crucial days because those are the days when you can set the values of your life. You can determine what will be the moral standards by which you're going to live. A friend of mine told about being in Texas several years ago on a highway, and he saw a sign which said, "Be very careful the next road you take, for you will be on it for the next 200 miles. Well, you see, it's very important when you're young to set the values and the standards by which you're going to live your life. It is also days of opportunity. You can make opportunities for yourself. And so the days of thy youth are days of tremendous cruciality. But the days of thy youth are also changing days. It is during the days of your youth that you go through the experience known as adolescence. Someone has described adolescence as a 7-year period of time which can be compared to taking a journey. And at the end of that journey, you have moved from the playground of childhood into the land of adulthood. Do you remember the little story of Red Riding Hood? Do you remember that little story? And of course, you know, Red Riding Hood went down and the big bad wolf was there. And little Red Riding Hood had to watch out for the big bad wolf. Well, during the days of adolescence, there are some wolves that you have to watch out for. These changing days of adolescence have some wolves that would destroy your life for all of the days of your future. For instance, think with me for a moment about the wolf of inferiority. It is during the days of adolescence that young people begin to develop feelings of inferiority. Sometimes it is not justified. Most of the time it is not. And yet those feelings come and young people begin to think, well, you know, I'm just not worth much. I'm nobody. I can't do anything. And the tremendous pressure of the wolf of inferiority comes. Most of the times those feelings are irrational. There's no reason for a young person to feel that way, and yet they feel that way anyhow. I heard about a boy one time they were having difficulty with because he had determined that he was dead. I mean, he just decided he was dead. Now, he wasn't dead. He was very much alive, but they couldn't get him to believe that he wasn't dead. And so they finally took him to a psychiatrist, and he was sitting there, and the psychiatrist was doing everything he could to convince the boy that he was not dead, that he was very much alive. And so finally the psychiatrist said, he said, well, son, he said, I want to ask you a question. He said, do dead men bleed? And the boy said, well, of course dead men don't bleed. Dead men can't bleed. They don't have any blood. Dead men don't bleed. And so the psychiatrist grabbed a pen right quick and he stuck the boy. And when he did, blood came from the boy. And the boy looked at it and he said, well, what do you know? Dead men do bleed. And it is during the days of adolescence that if you're not very careful, the wolf of adolescence will get hold of you. There's also another wolf you have to watch for during the days of adolescence. It is the wolf of peer pressure. Peer pressure is a tremendous kind of pressure because the friends you associate with will put subtle pressures on your life to cause you to adopt their lifestyle, to do the things that they do. I was thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 in the NIV translation, and here's what it says. It says, bad companions corrupt good character. Now, you think about that. That is a tremendous truth, isn't it? Bad companions corrupt good character. Be very, very careful the friends you choose, because they will put pressures on you to be the way they are. Now, sometimes young people live a double standard. They have two sets of friends. They have a church set of friends, and then they have another set of friends. And they live one way around their church friends, and they live another way around their other set of friends. I would encourage you to make your friends of those who know the Lord. Now, if you have lost friends, do everything you can to win them to Jesus Christ. But be sure that you are always influencing them for the good, and that they're not bringing you down and influencing you for the bad. And so you have to watch out for the wolf of peer pressure. And then, of course, there is that old wolf of rebellion. That seed of rebellion, that black drop of rebellion that is in the heart of every one of us. Do you remember the parable which Jesus told about the young man who rebelled against his father? And the young man came to his father and he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Well, you see, he had that old black drop of rebellion, that old fallen nature. And all of us have that there. All of us have that desire to live the wild life, that pull on our lives by virtue of our fallen nature. And that's why it's so important for a young person to give his life to Jesus at an early time, to give his life to the Lord when he's young, so that there will be a new nature in his life that he can feed and develop that will overpower the old nature. You see, to a large extent, in every one of us, there is a bug and there is a butterfly. The bug is constantly pulling us to the dark places. The bug is constantly pulling us down to the dirt and under the rocks of life. But there is also a butterfly in us. And the butterfly is constantly reaching for the sky, constantly trying to pull us to be everything that God wants us to be. And so remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. They are changing days, and the days of adolescence will have a lot to do with what you become later on. I have always enjoyed the book of Ecclesiastes because the book of Ecclesiastes is the account given by King Solomon of the things he tried in life to give him joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment. And Solomon tried the gamut. He did everything imaginable in order to find peace and fulfillment and meaning in life. For instance, Solomon tried learning. And of course, you know Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. He was an expert in all of the sciences of his day. People came from far and near to hear the wisdom of this man Solomon. In fact, the Queen of Sheba came from the east, and when she came and heard all of the wisdom of Solomon, she said, "The half has not been told." And yet when you study the book of Ecclesiastes, you will discover that Solomon said, I gave myself to wisdom, and when he had his learning, he said, it's vanity and vexation of the spirit. There is no profit under the sun. And then, of course, he tried liquor, and he didn't find there, because you see, you don't find happiness in the bottom of a bottle. And then, of course, he tried luxury, and the Bible says he was the richest man who ever lived. Some people have estimated that Solomon had an annual income of $20 million a year. That'd buy a lot of bubble gum, wouldn't it? He had all kinds of financial things. And yet when Solomon looked at all of his riches, he said, it's vanity, it's emptiness, it's just like a puff of smoke. There is no profit under the sun. He tried lust. He gave himself to the exploitation of his sexual desires. And when he came to the end of that, there was no satisfaction in his life. Solomon came to a tremendous conclusion in life. And it is that conclusion I want to share with young people in this service tonight. Solomon said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And that is the first word of counsel I want to give young people who are going through these youthful days. That's the first word I have for you tonight. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. If you want to have a happy life, then make up your mind at the very beginning of your life to give your life to the Lord. I received the Lord Jesus as my Savior when I was a 9-year-old boy. I have always been glad that I did. I have never regretted giving my life to the Lord when I was 9. Now, I've not always been what the Lord wanted me to be. And I'm afraid in some of my high school years, I didn't live as close to Jesus as I should. But I have never regretted giving my life to the Lord as a young person. You see, to remember the Lord means, first of all, that you accept your Creator as your Savior. Now notice this statement, remember now thy Creator. Now there is a statement about who you are. It is a statement about where you came from. You see, young people, you are not an accident. Don't fall for the godless science or the godless pseudoscience that would tell you that you are just some colossal accident that has taken place on this earth. You are the product of a Creator. God created you. He formed you in your own image. And friend, you have infinite worth. You have infinite value because you are formed by the hands of the Creator of this universe. But you know the wonderful thing about this Creator? The Bible says that this Creator came to the earth and He became your Savior. We have a beautiful gospel hymn that puts it that way. The great Creator came and Jesus was His name. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, the tremendous truth of the incarnation is that when Jesus was born, the Creator came down, became a man, went to a cross, and died on that cross, bless your heart, just for you. And did you know if you'd been the only person who ever lived, Jesus would have died on that cross for you? If you'd been the only sinner that needed a Savior, Jesus would have shed every drop of His blood just for you. And so you see, when you're young, you need to make that decision to accept Jesus as your Savior. I want you to listen to a verse I want to read to you from 1 Peter. It says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I like that phrase, don't you? A faithful Creator. You know what that means? It means you can depend on the Lord. It means He is a faithful Creator. He has created you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. And the greatest decision you will ever make in your life is to yield your life to the plan of your Creator who became your Savior. Now in the Bible, we are given the account of a man who is commonly referred to as the rich young ruler. You know the story of the rich young ruler. There is so much that is positive about that story. That young man did so many things right. For instance, he came to the Lord at the right time. He was young. He came to the Lord in the right way. He came with a humble spirit. He asked the Lord the right question. He said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He got the right answer. The Lord told him just exactly what to do. But you know what? He made the wrong decision. And the Bible says that he turned and he walked away. Now I wonder if there's some young man, some young lady sitting in this building tonight and you have come to the point of decision in your life. I urge you, young man, I urge you, young lady, do the greatest thing you will ever do in life tonight. Give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, young people, there are not two hells. There's not a hell number one and a hell number two. There is not a hell where old people go and a hell where young people go. Young people who die outside of Christ go to hell just like anybody else does. And when you go to the cemetery, you will find all sizes of graves because you see death is no respecter of persons. And if you know that you need Jesus, if you know that you are a sinner tonight and reject the Lord Jesus Christ and die in your sins, then your fate is sealed according to the teachings of the Word of God. Don't presume on life. Don't assume you're going to have a long, long time to be saved. Tonight may be the only moment of decision you will ever have. And so you see, remember the Lord. Accept Him as your Savior. But then secondly, you ought to acknowledge Him as your Lord. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then down in the 13th verse, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, Jesus is not only our Savior, Jesus is also our Lord. Now, a person cannot knowingly receive Jesus as Savior and reject him as Lord. Now, when I was a 9-year-old boy, I didn't understand that Jesus was Lord. That came later on in my Christian experience. I came later on to understand that Jesus is to be the Lord of my life. And you see, I did not make Jesus Lord of my life. He was already Lord of my life. But there came a time when I was a 16-year-old young person when I acknowledged Jesus not only as my Savior, but as my sovereign. Not only as my Savior, but as my King. And so I bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus. I yielded my life totally to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, young people, if you have never yielded to the Lordship of Jesus, I want to encourage you to do that tonight. I want to encourage you to knowingly, intelligently, gladly, voluntarily, willingly tonight to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord of your life. Turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Let him plan it. Let him design your lifestyle. Let him determine what your life goals are going to be. And I want to tell you something, friends. It'll do absolute wonders for your self-worth. There is nothing that will help a young person have a sense of self-worth like knowing that the Creator is their Savior and that they have yielded their life to the will of the God of this universe. Now, you know, self-worth is a real struggle that young people go through with during these years of youth. And we have established certain criteria whereby young people are thought to believe that they will be well worthwhile or that they will have self-worth. For instance, what are the standards that people go by today to determine worth? What is it that young people feel they have to have in order to be worth something? Well, of course, one of them is looks. They feel like they have to look good if they're going to be worth anything. You know, it's an amazing thing about that. Did you know the prettiest girl in this church tonight? I mean, the absolutely most beautiful girl in this church has something about her physical appearance that bugs her. Did you know that? I remember when I was in high school, we had an absolutely gorgeous girl. I mean, she was a lovely, lovely girl. But I noticed that she wore long sleeves all the time. I didn't know why she wore long sleeves. I just thought she liked long sleeves. Did you know, sometimes later I found out that this lovely girl had a little mole right there on her elbow. And you see, she thought she was all mole. She thought that when people saw her, all they saw was that mole. And so she wore long sleeves to cover up that mole. So you see, if people look upon self-worth as being determined by their looks, then there are a lot of young people who feel like, well, I'm not worth anything. I don't look so good. Let me tell you something, young ladies. You may not think you look so good, but there's a boy out there somewhere that God has for you who one of these days is going to look at you and his heart is going to do flip-flops. He's going to think you're the prettiest thing that he ever saw in all of his life. He's going to fall head over heels in love with you. You may not think you look great, but brother, he's going to think you're all there is, you see? Same thing with you guys. And then, of course, not only looks, but intelligence. Young people want to feel that they have some intelligence. And this is one of the things that they use to attach self-worth to themselves. And then money. If I've got money, if I can buy material things, that will give me self-worth. I want to read you a statement of the Lord Jesus. I want to read you what Jesus has to say about that. It's in the book of Luke, and I can find it tonight. In the book of Luke, and in the 16th chapter, and in the 15th verse, I want you to listen to what Jesus had to say, the last part of the verse. Here's what Jesus says about self-worth. For that which is highly esteemed among men. Did you get that? That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Did you get that? In other words, the things that people say make you worth something, that make you highly esteemed, God says that's an abomination. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's thoughts are not, God's ways are not our ways. His standards are not our standards. God has a different standard. And let me tell you something tonight, friends. If you've given your life to Jesus, and if you're living for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you can hold your head up, and you can look people in the eye, and you can feel like you're somebody, because, friend, you are somebody tonight. You belong to the King. You're a child of the King. Remember thy Creator in the days of your youth. Just make up your mind, I'm going to live for Jesus. You'll never, ever regret living for Jesus all of the days of thy youth. But now here's the second thing I want to say to you. I want to say, number one, remember the Lord. But then number two, I want to say, if you want to have a happy life, respect your parents. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Go over to the New Testament to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to read now what God says to young people about their parents. And young people, if you'll listen carefully to what I say at this point, and if you will do what God says about this matter right here, you're going to have a happy life. And you're going to look back on the days of your youth, and you're going to see them as happy, happy days. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. There are two primary relationships that are absolutely vital to your well-being as a young person. One is your relationship with the Lord. The other is your relationship with your parents. Now you got them. What are you going to do with them? Can't avoid it. You got them. You got parents. What are you going to do with them? Now, you may not have the best parents in the world, but I got news for you. You probably don't have the worst parents in the world either. How would you like to have had the parents of Henry Lucas, the mass murderer? Well, in fact, he never knew his father, so far as I've been able to read. His mother was a prostitute. Henry Lucas has confessed to well over 100 murders. His mother was a prostitute, and when she engaged in her prostitution, she forced Henry Lucas as a little boy to witness her immorality. How'd you like to have a mother like Henry Lucas? You see, you may not have the best parents in the world, but I doubt you've got the worst parents in the world. You know, I remember one time when my kids were, oh, I don't know, maybe preteen or right in there somewhere, and we were heading to church. You know, you always have your fusses on the way to church. Have you ever noticed that? If you're ever going to get into one, it'll happen on the way to church. And so I forgot. They were yan-yan about something I was doing. They were on my case pretty good, you know, and I kind of had it up to there. And so I told them, I said, well, I said, I'm going to tell you. I said, I'm sure I'm not the father I all ought to be all the way, all the time. I'm sure I fail in a lot of ways. But I said, I'll tell you what. If I'm not the kind of father you want me to be, I said, I'm saved. Now, I'm going to heaven when I die. And if you're not happy with me as a father, why don't you just pray that the Lord will just kill me and take me on to heaven and get you a new father that you'll be happy with? It got real quiet in the car. Now, so you may not have the best parents in the world, but I got news for you. You probably don't have the worst, you see. Now, the Bible says that young people are to respect your parents. The family is kind of like God's workshop. It is in the family where God is doing a work in your life. In the family, God is teaching you, and God is testing you, and God is forming you and shaping you the way you ought to be. And maybe one of the reasons God permitted you to be in the particular family you are and to have the particular parents you do is because God is doing a work in your life, getting you ready on out there in the future to do things for Him that your family is preparing you to do. You see, as a young person, you're kind of like a diamond in the rough. And in your family, God is chipping away the things that ought not to be in your life. And He is shaping and forming and polishing you so that you will become a bright, shining diamond for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you study the Scriptures, it's rather interesting that the Bible has a whole lot more to say about the responsibilities of the parents than it does about the young people. In fact, it is relatively simple what God tells young people to do in relation to their parents. In fact, here they are right here. You can wrap up basically everything the Bible says about your responsibility to the parents in these verses right here. Number one, obey your parents. And number two, honor your father and your mother. All right, let's talk about those two now for a moment. Number one, heed your parents. Obey your parents. Now, the word obey means to hear under. And it carries with it the idea of listening to one who is in authority over you. Now, God has established certain authority in the world. We could not exist as a reasonable, rational society if there was not authority. And so God says to young people, obey your parents. Listen under your parents. Be under the authority of your parents. I know one Bible teacher who uses a very good illustration about this. He talks in terms of an umbrella of protection. God has given you parents as an umbrella of protection. And you are to be under that authority. And the tense of the verb here is a present tense, which means that you are to be constantly, habitually under the authority of your parents. To heed the commands of your parents. To obey the directives of your parents. You say, how long am I to do that? You are to do that as long as you are under their authority, as long as you are living in their home. Now, disobedience is severely condemned in the Bible. For instance, in Romans chapter 1, when it talks about the depravity of the human heart, one of the things it lists as illustrative of the heart's depravity is disobedient to parents. And then when it talks about the last days and the characteristics of the last days in 2 Timothy, one of the things it says will be characteristic is disobedient to parents. And God looks upon disobedience in severe terms. In fact, in the Old Testament, according to the Old Testament scriptures, when there was a son who was habitually disobedient to his parents, who lived in rebellion against the authority of his parents, he could be taken out of the city and he could be stoned to death. You see, God takes it very serious. Now, of course, you are experiencing as young people tremendous pressure to disobey your parents and to rebel against the authority of your parents. That's one of the reasons why, personally, I have, since its inception, taken a very strong position about rock music. When rock music came, I began to study very carefully rock music. It finally got so filthy and so vulgar, I didn't study it anymore. I just didn't want that kind of stuff in my mind, and I didn't want to see that kind of stuff. But one of the dominant themes of the whole rock music culture is rebellion against your parents. That's one of the dominant themes. Young people, don't put that in your mind. Because you see, what that does, that just feeds the natural rebellion that is in the human heart. And God says, obey your parents. Now, why does God say to do that? He gives you two reasons. Number one, he says, obey your parents in the Lord. It's the spiritual thing to do. It is as obedient unto the Lord when you are obedient to your parents. You see, when you obey your parents, you are acknowledging the Lord in your life, and it is now your parents' responsibility to be led of the Lord in the things they tell you to do. So it's the spiritual thing to do, but also it is the ethical thing to do. He says, for this is right. It is the ethical thing to do. You see, as you learn to obey your parents in the family, you are preparing yourself to be obedient in society. You see, your parents have to be obedient too. I mean, you know, your parents come to a light, it turns red, they stop. They obey the traffic light. They are commanded to do that by society. Bills come in, they pay those bills because society demands that they obey the demand for payment. And so in the family, you are learning to be a productive member of society. And if you go out of your family with no respect for authority, if you go out of your family having never obeyed your parents, then you see you're a rebel in society and you're going to have brush after brush after brush after brush with the established authorities. And you've got yourself a lifetime of heartache and misery out there in the future. God says, obey your parents. Now here's the second thing. God says, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor your parents. The word honor is a beautiful little word there. It is a word that really means to highly esteem, to regard with the deepest respect. Honor your parents. There is nothing uglier than disrespect for parents. There is nothing more unbecoming than a young person who is disrespectful to his parents. And by the way, kids, let me tell you something. You better look very carefully at how your boyfriend or your girlfriend treats their parents. Now, you watch that closely. You got a girlfriend who is constantly sassing her mama? Or you're going with a boyfriend who is constantly belligerent against his father? You better watch that closely, because you know what? The way they treat their parents, if you marry them, is the way they're going to treat you. Amen. That's right. You better look at that carefully. And if you're going with some guy right now that's giving his folks a hard time, you just mark it down. The moment I marry him, he's going to switch that to me. He's going to give me a hard time. And if you're going with some old gal that's giving her mama fits and throwing off on her mama and making her mama's life miserable, the moment you marry her, she'll transfer every bit of that to you, and she'll make your life miserable. Honor your parents. You know, I think about the Lord Jesus. I think about how that the Lord Jesus, when he was just a young boy, went down to Nazareth, and the Bible says that he was subject unto his parents. He was subject unto them. Think about that. He was God. I mean, he had the very mind of God. He knew everything. And yet the Lord Jesus put himself under the authority of human, frail Mary and Joseph. And you know what? When Jesus was dying on the cross for you and me, he took time out from dying to care for his precious mother. And I'm going to tell you something, young people. God says, look at it, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know what it's saying? It's saying if you'll obey your parents and if you'll respect your parents, God is saying it'll save you a lot of problems and a lot of dangers on down the road. You know, there are a lot of people who are living right now with guilt. They're living with guilt because of their disobedience and disrespect to their parents. Rita was a teenage girl going through the normal difficulties of adolescence, but her difficulties were compounded because during those early years of her adolescence, her mother, Martha, just 33 years of age, came down with terminal cancer. But you see, Rita allowed disrespect and rebellion in her heart to make the last days of her mother extremely difficult days. Rita was unkind to her mother. Rita said hateful, ugly things to her dying mother. And I remember the day when I conducted the funeral of Martha. And Rita came and buried herself in her mother's casket. And through tears, she began to cry and say, "Oh, Mother, I'm so sorry. Oh, Mother, I didn't know you were that sick. Oh, Mother, forgive me. I wish I hadn't said those things I said, Mother." But you know what? Her mother's eyes never opened to give her that reassuring glance. "Oh, Mother, forgive me." You know what? Mother's lips never opened to say, "It's all right." You know what? Mother's ears were unable to hear those apologies. And do you know, for years after that, all of these years really, after that, periodically, Rita would call my wife, Janet, on the phone. And we go over this whole guilt of how bad she felt and how sorry she was for her disrespect to her mother. Young people, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Obey and honor your parents, and it will go well with thee, and you'll live long on the earth.